Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, hello. We are actually in the shop together facing each other today. Once again, it's been quite a while. Mm-hmm. Good to see you, Devin.
You too, brother.
Today we will both be doing quotes, but we're going to let Devin start it off. Devin, what do you got for us today?
The more time you spend contemplating what you should have done, you lose valuable time planning what you can and will do. Dustin, what do you have for us?
I have. Success is no accident. It is hard work, perseverance, learning, studying, sacrifice, and most of all, love of what you are doing or learning to do.
All right.
There we go. Look at that. Two quotes.
Oh, I have to think about it.
Yeah, you're like, what does that even mean? I know, I didn't really listen to yours. I did, but I was just making sure it wasn't the same as mine, because I was like, that would have been great.
Well, mine was the more time you think about things that you should have done.
Right.
You're wasting time, not just moving forward, thinking about new things.
Right, right.
Hey, can fix it.
Yeah.
And that the quote's kind of standard. It's nothing special, but it's from Lil Wayne. I'm sorry. So I thought that was funny.
Little Wayne.
Little Wayne said it. Whoever this
little guy.
Short guy is. I don't know.
Yeah, mine is... about hard work. You know, success is no accident. It's hard work, perseverance, learning, studying, sacrifice. Most of all, love of what you're doing or learning to do. Mm. That worked really well. So, yeah, I think, you know, just being ready to work for what you want and not sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can't, I mean, you can stumble into it.
Yeah, you can, yes. You can. I think that, what do they say, success is just hard work and luck or something like that, or a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck or something like that.
It's when opportunity meets hard work, something like that.
Right.
Good luck is.
Success is when opportunity meets luck. Whatever.
This is like a weird.
I feel like I've heard this quote. Yeah,
I need luck and time and success and Lil Wayne somewhere.
A squared plus B squared equals
hold the
C's.
Luck
and Lil Wayne.
Delete Lil Wayne. Make him littler.
Lil.
It's a pretty standard quotes there. We both kind of, I didn't have one this week, so I was, why don't we both get one?
Yeah.
And try to do that, but.
And I was thinking, so we've been, today is Thursday, and Dev and I have been together 2 days in a row now, working on two videos. We got two separate videos done, one each day. I'll be going on vacation up to Vermont on Saturday, and I'll be gone till the following Saturday. So we figured let's try to get some stuff done this week. And we had a couple days kind of to work around our schedules, and it just worked out. We had one short one that we wanted to get done, and then yesterday was a little bit shorter day, maybe 4 or 5 hours, something like that. Probably able to get done. And then today you came over around 11, and we finished up at about 8:30.
Yeah, we've never done
two videos
in 2 days.
Right, exactly. So we got all that filmed. And so when you were asking me to grab a quote, I was thinking of something to do with hard work, you know. But I didn't want to find just like something really short, you know. I wanted to find, because there's tons of little short ones, but that one was kind of nice because it was a little bit longer, and I like that it emphasized love of what you're doing. You know, success is no accident. It's all these things plus love of what you're doing or learning to do. You know, you talk about the channel is, you know, becoming more and more successful, and a lot of that is because we love doing this. We love hanging out and working in the shop and doing stuff, and it doesn't seem like, you know, a chore most of the time. Sometimes like, okay, yeah, we got, you know, I think when we're on like that fifth or sixth day of shooting, sometimes that feels like a chore. We're like, oh, we need another day.
Well, it feels like a chore when I have it set in my head that we're going to finish today.
Right.
And it's like day six.
Yeah.
And we don't. Like,
right, exactly.
It's another day. Let me start planning. I don't think we're getting it all done. What if we just finish in like half an hour? Stop it here.
Right.
I can go home, have dinner with my wife real quick. Right. Yeah. If we stop now, I can go home.
Yeah, right.
Wife will still be awake.
I like this quote also because it's from Pele, famous soccer player.
Yeah.
And a little story. When we were growing up, we had a real good friend named Charles. We still have a good friend named Charles. I sail with Charles. He and I and my brother Drew, we own a boat together, and we race every week. But it was probably him, I guess, who introduced us to Pele at some point, somehow, I forget. But Pele is one of the best soccer players ever. And so anytime someone would make a mistake, some type of physical mistake, you like trip up the steps, or you kick a ball and it doesn't go where you want it, or you try to like take a shot at a hoop and you miss it, or you hit a ball weird. Or you hit your mic when you're recording, we'd always say like, nice shot Pele, or nice kick Pele.
Right.
You know, so like,
it just became the de facto like thing. If you had a bad throw, it didn't even make sense.
A sarcastic.
Like, nice throw, Pele.
Yeah. Right. And then when, our oldest brother, Derek, he and Charles became best friends in high school when they, after high school, they decided to hike the Appalachian Trail. So they started out up at Mount Katahdin up in the north end, and then worked their way down from there. Now, if you're not familiar with the Appalachian Trail, and I think a lot of trail hiking, you have trail name. You'll get a trail name, so you don't use your normal name. You usually acquire a trail name. So it could be whatever, some type of nickname or something that you've either given yourself, but normally it's something that somebody else gives you. So Charles's nickname was Pele. His trail name.
Was his trail name?
Pele.
I just remember Derek's. It was Von Blazen.
Von Blazen. Pele and Von Blazen. And yeah, because Charles, he's a kind of a shorter guy, but he's really, muscular and really fit and lean and, you know, very active, you know, always been into sports and stuff. So he's got that build, like a good soccer player build.
But Pele. Yeah, and then they only lasted about, a month?
Yeah.
Charles broke his...
Yeah, broke his ankle.
Sprained something.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the 100-mile wilderness.
Yeah.
Right in the middle. They had to find like a fire trail or something down off the mountain. They found it and hiked down like 10 miles on his broken ankle. Yeah.
And that was that.
And Derek ended up going on for about another week or so, but it had just lost... It lost its interest for him, you know. The whole point was to be able to hike it with his best friend, so... But, you know,
and he almost died by himself. I don't know if he told the story in the podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. It's maybe. Hard because we hear these stories a lot.
So, yeah, he was crossing a river and went down, and his his pack was kind of drowning, but pulling him down kind of backwards, and then flipped over, I think. And he just couldn't. The
he
river
couldn't, like, get his feet
and everything.
Underneath. He couldn't get his feet. And the pack was holding him underwater. The
pack was so heavy. And then, you know, at the last minute, his foot did hit a rock, and he kind of popped up.
Yeah. But he had that thought of, like, I'm out here all by myself.
Mm-hmm. That definitely scared him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame him. You know, that's obviously, you know, the idea is that you're going out there and hiking with your best friend. But really, it's, you know, to experience the Appalachian Trail. And they were right out of college. And our mom was like, you should keep going, because when are you going to have this opportunity in life? You
that's
know,
true.
But it really, I mean, I don't blame him. I don't know what I would have done, but I don't blame him for deciding, being like, nah.
He needed to find someone, like, right away.
Yeah.
Maybe who could have kept him company and no one was there.
And they had a couple other friends and stuff, but I think really, you know, that's the whole point. It's like you're doing this adventure with your best friend. You know, that's the point. You know, you could do it anywhere. It didn't have to be the Appalachian Trail. It could have been, you know, backpacking around wherever. It could have been, you know, a road trip or who knows, you know, just a vacation. But they decided that's what they wanted to do together. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did work hard for it, though.
Yeah.
Like our quotes today.
Work hard, prepare.
Yeah, so we've been working over the last 2 days on two different videos, getting ready, because we finished up the Giotto Challenge video and got that out. And so I think we last week we were just trying to sit here thinking what we did last week. And I think we both just didn't do anything because we had worked really quickly on that video before that,
right.
And, you know, for several days straight. You know, long hours, and then Devin, same thing, like long hours to get it edited and all done. So I think it was just enough time to just take a break. Like, and we were planned. So we had, I guess last, there was something, I think it was just a homestand or something. So we didn't have a lot of time anyway together.
Yeah.
You know, because the Giotto knife challenge video came out on, the Friday, and then, you know, Sunday we were doing stuff and announcing the winner. And then, you know, then we had the podcast and we recorded on Thursday.
And my wife worked a lot because I worked the week before. We try to go back and forth with our schedules. She's at the hospital. I'm at the O's.
Yeah.
So it was me and Maeve a lot, just hanging out. We did. Mm-hmm. We did go up see my buddy Guy, put a couple speakers in the truck. Cause
oh, yeah. Nice.
I have the 2012 F-150 and he has the 2013.
Okay.
So everything's still the same.
Yeah.
And we put in, because the Ford factory speakers they give you, if you want a direct replacement, they're $8 speakers. So that's how much Ford sells them to you for.
The dealership.
So their, you know, like, their price, what they spent on it, is probably like $3 speakers. So they're terrible. And we wanted to replace them. And so that's what we did. And we got through 3 doors, did one. And of course, that's when all the issues happened. Next up, we couldn't get it back. Things weren't like, you know, you have to, there's 4 screws and the whole door comes off. You kind of lift it up and off. It's nice that that happens. And then you got all these connectors for all the electronics.
Right.
They didn't want to come off. And then we actually, there's plastic pieces that the screws go into on the other side of the metal door, right?
Yep.
That one fell back.
Oh, yeah.
One of them fell back into the door, into the depths of where you cannot get it. And we
so
didn't know what it was.
Like screw
when we unscrewed
nothing.
It, we heard it. You're like, clunk, clunk, clunk. We're like, oh, what was that?
Oh, man.
And then I was screwing it back in, and I was like, oh. I was like,
nothing
to
go
into. I was going. Yeah. I was like, yes. And I pulled the screw out and looked in. I was like, there's nothing here. So we left it. And we were thinking, like, should we put something behind it, blah, blah, blah. But then we kind of pulled on the door and like it feels the same.
Right. Was that yours or Guy's?
Guy's.
You're like, well, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. I think it's good.
You're fine. Fine. You should have just,
I don't know. There's a couple things we can do and he can go back in and do if he wants.
Yeah.
But it's with the 3 screws where they are, it's pretty secure.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking you could just, you know, take a small chunk of wood and drill a hole out it and then super glue that on the backside.
That's
what
we were, but it was also, you couldn't get to the backside.
Nah.
So you'd have to somehow get it through and then pull it. So maybe you could.
One of those toggle things like in a wall or whatever. Those toggle
screws.
You
can go through and pull that thing out, flip it out, and then pull it.
Right.
I don't know. Or you could put some type of hard, dry, putty stuff that you can screw into a filler that would do it. But
yeah.
I guess it was all right.
Right.
But it sounds much better. Nice. I'm happy.
Yeah, my truck is doing good. It's smelling much better. It's just like slowly got rid of the old, you know, sitting with a bunch of junk inside of it for a year, the musty smell. So it doesn't smell bad anymore, which is great. Nice and clean on the inside, which I did earlier, you know, right when I got it. But it started leaking what I thought was oil. It didn't look exactly like oil, but it smelled like oil. You know, this is like kind of everything I get in the engine eventually just smells like either gasoline or oil.
Right.
And it wasn't leaking a ton, but, you know, a little bit. I could see it. It hadn't started leaking when I first got it, not for like a week or so, week and a half maybe. And then I started saw it leaking. So I was kind of looking at it, and I noticed it was coming from the right front corner of the engine, close to the front. And what I could see, I knew there was like stuff there, but it didn't look like something that where oil should come from. But I thought maybe there was just like a pinhole leak somewhere and it was maybe a spraying or whatever. But, the other day I was driving to work and I noticed a little bit of a sound that sounded different, just kind of like a little bit of a hum that wasn't supposed to be there. Now this is a 20-year-old truck that sat for a year and I'm sure it's going to have all sorts of weird stuff. So whatever. So I get to work and, you know, whatever sound was not too bad. But then when I left work, I went to drive out of the parking lot and I turned my wheel. And as soon as I started turning my wheel, I heard that, you know, it was like just that sound. And so it was definitely the power steering fluid. So, you know, I was like, oh, that's good. At least it's something, a self-contained system that can be fixed. It's not like a blown gasket or something, you know, something big in the engine, like a crack or whatever. So, so that was good. So got to get that worked on. I have a check engine light on. I had that checked that has, was it like, something in the exhaust or there's like some, you know, error message for the exhaust. And then there's an error message that says, something like your engine is reading too cold. So maybe it's like a thermostat thing or something. Okay. Like it's supposed to read heat, but it's not, you know, so it's just reading as cold. So I don't know. There were actually four error messages and like two of them had to do with exhaust and two of them had to do with temperature. So, you know, it was some probably just like a dry rotted hoses or something that are letting exhaust out somewhere that's not supposed to be. And then maybe the thermostat's bad or whatever. So other than those and the leak and a squeaky belt, or maybe it's an alternator. I don't know. It's all like minor things. So because I'm going on vacation for a week, the guy I got it from, his father is a mechanic and he's the one who told my dad about the truck. And so I'm actually going to reach out to him. I meant to reach out to him today, but we've been filming all day long.
All day long.
And so I'll reach out to him tomorrow. And if he can't do it or he doesn't have the stuff to be able to do, you know, I'll give him the information about what I need done. If he wants to do it, then great. I'll give it to him. And if not, then I'll just take it to our normal mechanic and drop it off since we'll be gone for a week. It's perfect. And it's summertime. I'm done as of this Tuesday this week. This is my last day teaching for the summer. I'm on summer break.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
So this is the worst episode of Car Talk ever. You got two brothers.
And it's some weird sound like.
A lot more laughing. A lot more Car Talk laughing.
That's Car Talk. I love that show.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you want to go into the 2 days of the two videos?
Two videos in 2 days.
So we had to plan one that was shorter.
Yep.
And one we said, look, we can do all day Thursday, which is we're recording now.
Right.
So we can get one whole thing done.
Well, originally, I had said to you, I'm available on Monday evening and Thursday and Friday. That's what I was like, Monday, Thursday, Friday. Because Monday, I didn't have anything going on in the evening after work. So I'd be home by 4:35 o'clock. We can start filming then, which is normally what we do. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, I sail in the evenings. And then Thursday is today, which I had off completely. And then tomorrow is off completely as well.
Yeah.
And then we realized that our daughter, who plays softball, was originally not going to have a game today. So we thought her last game was on Saturday last week, but she ended up having a game on Monday. And because I was around, I was like, I want to go to her game, at least part of it. So go for an hour. It's at 6 o'clock. So I was like, maybe we can go for an hour. We can meet at 7, or I can go for 45 minutes, you know, see her for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, I didn't know specifically. So then it was like, well, now it's not, we can't do Monday. And so he's like, all right, so we won't do Monday. And it's fine. So what about this? And he's like, well, I could do what you said.
So Thursday, maybe Friday, depending Thursday, maybe Wednesday. There was a couple of situations and I wasn't sure.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So we just weren't exactly sure what to do. And so, yeah, it was just like, we'll see what we could do. So then we ended up thinking, okay, well, we can do Wednesday. And then I was, well, then I realized, because I originally thought, well, I can't do Tuesday or Wednesday because it's, I'm sailing Tuesday, Wednesday night. But then I was like, oh, wait, I have Wednesday day. Because my last day of school was Tuesday. So I had Wednesday. I was like, oh, well, I can actually do Wednesday day. So you're like, well, I can do Wednesday day.
Yeah.
It works perfectly.
So we had from the morning till
until 3:30 or 4 o'clock or so. Yeah, I was going to go down a little early and help out on the boat, which I did. And Charles didn't show up until like 5:40. He was like, sorry, man, I was going to come down and help out. But, well, whatever. We ended up going a little long, and I got down there at 5 o'clock anyway, where I was aiming to get there at 4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was fine.
I was there early and got all the lines set up and drank a couple beers by myself and hung out. And so
could be worse.
Yeah. But that was good. So, yeah. So yesterday we did the, we knew we wanted to do a one day video. And so we try to, for our own sanity, that we try to mix in some short ones now and again.
Yeah.
And also to be able to fill the gaps. Because when we do longer videos, then they take longer to edit. And then, you know, that could be like one video a month. We usually try to do some long ones, but then we try to mix in some short ones so that way we can do a video in like 2 weeks, you know, put one up, edit, and then put another, like sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. So we had talked about a couple different video ideas, and then we kind of remembered and thought of that we have the Drill Doctor, which was sent to us from Worksharp. So I'd reached out to, well, actually, originally, I was just going to buy a Drill Doctor, which is a drill bit sharpening system.
Yeah.
And so I went over to Brian House's video on Housework about his, because I knew he had done a video. So I was going to go over and I was going to use his affiliate link to buy it.
Yeah.
So that way I could give him the kickback.
Right.
And then, so I watched his video on it again. And then I watched a video from Big Dog Forge. And, realized that I could probably reach out to Drill Doctor or Worksharp to see if they would send one over for us to do a review on.
Right.
So we're always a little hesitant about that, like receiving things from, you know, companies, because it costs them nothing really, you know, in the grand scheme of things to send us stuff. And then if we do a video on it, well, that's a really cheap sponsored video.
Right. We don't want to owe them anything.
Right.
But we also... No, yeah, if then they're getting kind of a free sponsorship.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah. So my kind of angle was like, I like the product. You know, I struggle with dull drill bits all the time, which I feel like every video that we're trying to drill through a handle material, it's always like, I'll get through two holes, and then the third one's like, wah! All crazy, and like Devin's got to turn down the volume when he's editing and stuff, and
yeah, it's way low.
And then, you know, it's smoking, and I'm trying different drill bits, and always some like bit, you know, thing in the video where I'm trying to like drill through one hole.
That's one thing I'll kind of skip past,
yeah,
and over the issues with the drill bits,
yeah,
because that's not like Dustin screwed up something or something slipped and he broke something, it's just whatever bits he has at the time
aren't sharp
or, yeah, or it's, right. It's the process of the knife is still you, this is where you should be drawing the holes,
right?
Yeah, but for whatever reason certain bits Dustin has just don't go through.
We're just like, motherfucker, just like I'm just going through my stash of drill bits, so like this one's dull,
so
this
I'll
one's
do like one shot of it going, and then and then we'll have it going through.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm not going to show the 10 times you push down as it's smoke and not going anywhere. And we spend...
And like to flip it over and
we
do
spend
some
an
on the other
hour
side
and a half on trying to put holes in the stupid handle of the knife.
So, Yeah, so I reached out to Drill Doctor.
So he needs a Drill Doctor.
So I was gonna buy one, and then I figured, maybe after watching a couple of videos, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just reach out and see if they'll send one. And so I was like, I can use it if it's a good quality, if it's a good thing, which I know it is. I've seen other people. I like the product. I'd like to be able to use it, and it'll be on the channel. Maybe we have some type of review-ish video on it, and they responded back right away. Like, we're happy, absolutely. We're happy to send one over. I actually asked for the middle model. There's three models. There's the 300, the 500, and then the 750, which is just arbitrary numbers, but I guess. But there, there's like the three models of drill bit sharpeners. The middle one does pretty much everything that the 500 does almost everything that the 750 does, except for it has two angles that you can drill your drill bit tips at, instead of the higher model one does a whole range of angles. So you can do anywhere between like 100 degrees and 150 degrees. So it's a full range.
And it can make it can get a thicker bit.
Right. And that's the other thing. Yeah. The largest drill bit size that the 500 can do is a half inch. And the largest that the 750 can do is 3/4. So right. That's pretty big. I don't have any 3/4. Like, my biggest one is a half inch. So
it really came down to us needing a quick video.
Yeah.
And that was the one we could think of.
Right. Yeah.
And that the one that Dustin had not opened and, wanted to open.
Still in the box.
Because the last project we had, he had shitty bits.
Yeah, right, exactly. Trying to drill for the Gyoto.
For the Gyoto. So we're like, yeah, we better do a video on this thing.
Yeah, right. So how about the Drill Doctor? Get it up. And I wasn't, I hadn't opened it. Half of it was like, maybe we'll do a video and we'll actually do an unboxing. And the other half was just that I hadn't really gotten around to it. Because it wasn't in my mind that we would do an unboxing. It wasn't in my mind that we would put in, like, our original thought was that we'll do a video, and in that video we'll be drilling at some point. So we'll stop and use the Drill Doctor to sharpen the drill bits, and it'll be a piece of that video.
Right.
So it's not like a sponsored video, but we figured, why not? Because all the videos that I'd seen on the Drill Doctor, no one really went through the process of how you do it. It was more just like, they showed like you put the drill bit into it, but it didn't really walk through exactly how to do it. Now, obviously you have the book that tells you how to do it. Right. So they're like, you don't have to, if you get it, you open the book, blah, blah, blah. But I figured, we would walk through it. So kind of went through all the parts, showed you how you put it in. And
I always like when people go through and do it. Like, even for the speaker replacement on the truck, I watch multiple people go through.
Right.
And some people didn't give me all the thing, and there's like big gaps. And you're like, wait, what happened? Right. All of a sudden the door's off. And then what was all that? How'd you get through there?
Right, exactly.
I like watching. If I'm going to do something, I watch 10 videos on it.
Yeah.
And then do it. And I already have the map in my head. It's like taking a trip. I like to see the Google, the directions before I say just go.
Right.
Like, my wife will just say go. I'm like, are you sure where it's taking us? Where is it? Like, and all of a sudden it wants you to go left, down the highway the opposite direction.
Yeah, you're like, we put in like in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, you had like tolls off or something. It's going to be an hour longer. So I like to make sure, and I like to visualize it first.
Yeah.
Same thing with projects on YouTube. I like to see someone do it, visualize it.
Right.
I've seen it come off. I saw how the person pulled on it. I saw this. I saw how they twisted their speed.
Right.
So I think that was nice for...
You're a visual learner.
That's right.
And I agree. And I think with this video, I think it'll be fun too, because we did a bunch of side-by-sides. So we'll do, you'll actually see like two videos at the same time, a dull and sharp going side by side at the same time. So that'll be kind of fun.
And we were thinking about it. What's the angle we want to go about it?
Right. Because it can't just be like a testing out.
We didn't just want to do a review.
Right.
Well, it is, but it isn't. But we wanted to do an interesting angle. Like a lot of people, something like that.
Right.
And we know what making a Gyoto knife, blah, 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 is. And that's the angle. We don't give you any trick angle. Like, oh, it's the greatest blah, blah, blah ever. Like, you can't believe what happened.
Right, yeah.
But for this, we need something to what's interesting about what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
other than just the straight review. Because if you just go, blah, 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 review.
Right.
And it's the Drill Doctor.
Yeah.
What do they sell, 5,000, 10,000 a year?
Exactly. Yeah, right.
It's not the new iPhone review where you're going to have hundreds of millions of people looking into it.
Right, yeah.
It's the Drill Doctor. You'll have like 300 really interested people and really appreciative people.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, so I was looking for this review, but you're not going to get a big kind of hit video.
Right. And the other reason why I wasn't completely adverse to doing a video just about reviewing that tool is because it is exactly what we do in the shop. You know, like, I need the drill doctor. So, you know,
yeah,
it obviously works. Exactly. And obviously, if we're doing any reviews, we're not going to do a review on a vacuum cleaner or something. You know, like, this is the new Dyson, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Or I love Butcher Box.
Yeah.
And they send me this steak in the middle of a thing. You're like, wait, what? Why are you cooking?
Right, exactly.
In the middle of this knife video. Love when they send me this. It's just so easy to cook. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, right.
So Butcher Box, if you're listening, we will do Butcher Box advertisement.
I do love
for the right price.
For the right. Yeah. But yeah, so that was, it was cool. It was, you know.
And they didn't push us.
Yeah.
You reached out.
Yep.
And they were cool about it, offered you the better one.
Yep.
And so
they were like, we're happy.
And it's something that worked. And early on, I kept saying, like, Dust, if it's, we got to make sure, give the angle. Like, it could be bad.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, I think it's going to be good. I was like, yeah, but like, say it could be bad. Like, we don't know.
We don't know.
We didn't want people to think that you were sensitive.
Right.
And we told in the video, you told people in the video.
Yeah.
We're not sponsored, but they sent it to us for free.
Right. Yeah.
But you were optimistic, like you're always optimistic, but I'm like, you can't be totally optimistic about it.
You're like,
because then it doesn't.
Yeah, right.
It reads as like you're like too
up,
like.
Down. Yeah, right.
This is exactly. Gonna be great.
This is the
and then it
thing.
Is great.
Hey, look at that. It, you know, I will say that it definitely took some time to get used to, and it'll take more time to get used to, and that was fine. You know, that showed up in the video because I, you know, sharpened one drill bit and it didn't actually do better the second time. It was like better before it was sharpened, and then afterward it wouldn't drill. And then I like realized that I'd done something wrong, so I went back and then did a third try, and then the third try it went through.
Right.
You know, so it shows you that you like, you can screw up on it if you don't do it right. You could
use make
it
worse.
Once and make it worse, and then, or like screw up and then be like, I'm never using this again, you know?
Right. Like, oh, this doesn't work at all. Made it worse.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But, so you did, we did five of them or
five,
more than that
yeah.
for shooting
yeah.
purposes, but you did five and side by side, all different
yeah.
brands
yep.
from Crappy Harbor Freight up to some nicer Milwaukee
Irwin,
Rigid.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
but it was good. It came out good. It actually did work well.
Yeah.
So. That was that video, and
we
got that one done pretty quick.
Oh, that yeah, right, because you came over at like 10:30 or so, 10:45, and then we were done by 4:00.
Yeah,
so not bad. And no lunch break. We went straight on through for that one.
No, wait,
that was yesterday. No, we didn't. We just kept on going.
Yeah,
but then today, so that was yesterday. Then I went sailing, and we did awesome, and then we screwed up at the end. And then we lost. we went to the wrong mark. So when we do race, we do sailboat racing, we have a whole series of courses, and we, you know, the race committee chair decides which course to race on, which happens to be Drew this year. So we look at the wind, we decide, you know, what the best course is for the wind, and then we choose a predetermined course to tell the rest of the fleet what we're going to do. And that's anywhere between A and S or something. We have, you know, A, B, C, D course, blah, blah, blah. So we chose a course and then we put in the wrong mark into our GPS. The team that looked at it, Drew chose the mark and then we put in the wrong mark. And that's one thing that we always do when we race is we always double check. You know, so like someone would be like, all right, this is the course. It's this mark, back to finish, blah, 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 right? And then usually we'll double check it. We'll have a few people pull it up and look at it. And look at the course, either look at our printed list of it or pull it up on the website, look at it, and we'll kind of verify that we have the right course. Because in the past we have, you know, you'll get the course mixed up for some reason or another, or you'd be following someone else and they'll mix up the course, and then everyone else is like, wait, am I wrong? Are they wrong? And we unfortunately happened to be pretty far in the ahead in this particular race, like 5 minutes ahead, and we're like, you know, turned out toward this mark that was further out than we were supposed to go, and we didn't realize it until the boat that was behind us didn't turn basically where we thought they should turn, and then we're like, wait, shoot, is that this other mark? You know, we're supposed to go here. And then we're like, we all, you know, ran around like chickens with their heads cut off until we figured out the thing, and then dropped our spinnaker and turned and went all the way back and made it in fourth. Funnily enough, though, funnily enough, one of the other boats that was racing with, there were six boats racing, and we were in first, and then we ended up finishing in fourth, or there are five boats racing. So the boat that ended up coming in last was another boat that just went straight instead of turning toward the finish. They just kept on going straight, kept their spinnaker up and just kept sailing away.
They just want to go home?
No, they weren't going home. They were like going out further, like further out away. We don't know what happened. They just kept on sailing. I know that they did have their spinnaker up for the first time, and the way that the guy's boat works, he's got a rolling furling system, which is that front sail in the front of the boat can roll up instead of being taken down and put up. And so when you have that, if you have a spinnaker in the front, he has an asymmetrical spinnaker, so it rides in that front head stay. And because the rolling furling is there, you can't like do a normal halyard line that would take the sail up. So he's got some type of like a boot system that you have to put on, and then you hook that to that and blah, 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 blah.
So you think he couldn't get it down?
I think, yeah, maybe it was something with that, because it was kind of luffing and they just kept on sailing straight. So we ended up getting fourth instead of fifth, which we should have gotten fifth, but that just shows you when you're in the lead, you got to know where you're going.
Yeah. Were you guys using GPS?
Yeah.
You just punched in wrong.
We just typed in it wrong. Yeah. There are two different types of marks. There are PW marks, which are the Pentwood channel where we race. And then there's BC, which is the Brewerton channel. So we have PW marks and BC marks. We put in BC 6 instead of PW 6. So we knew 6. We had the right mark in our head. We just put in the wrong one. And they're probably a quarter mile apart, which is 20 minutes, 25 minutes in racing terms.
Yeah, and it's tricky. Back in my day, when I used to race with them, they didn't have the GPS. It was maps and papers and going and looking. Remember, You'd read.
You're talking about way back.
Yeah.
Way, way back. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Like back in the
you'd
90s.
You'd pull that out and you'd look.
Yeah, right.
You'd be checking stuff and then look. And I think that's it. Is that a mark? I don't know. I think. Right, we're heading towards it.
Well, yeah. It's always like.
That's a problem being up front.
Right.
You don't know. Right.
Yeah, you got to know. So we have. Yeah, we just have a little handheld GPS, but we have all the marks pre-programmed into it. The same. They're all the same marks we've been racing on for 20 years, you know, or 15 years. But, yeah, so we use that little GPS. We just typed in the wrong one. And the other problem is that they were both basically in the same direction. Just one was out further to the right and one was further to the left. And we went out to the one on the right and we were supposed to go to the one on the left. And the one on the left was only 200 yards away from the finish. And the one on the right was 1,000 yards, you know, from the finish. So you come out here, you turn, and everyone else went straight to the finish. So we were like, all knew that we beat them, though.
We knew you were being stupid.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Where are you going?
Look at those dummies out there just sailing away.
Well, that was car talk and sailing stories.
They must have something wrong with their spinnaker.
So then Thursday.
Yeah. So then, that's today. Today is Thursday.
Got up, had breakfast with the fam.
Yeah.
And then I headed right on over and... We started. We'll go ahead and talk about what we got.
Yeah. So I mentioned this, I think, 2 weeks ago for collaboration. Maybe not. I don't know if I've talked about what we did. I can't remember. So John Nagel from Nagel Haas Forge on Instagram, we had him on the podcast 4 or 5 months ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me through DM on Instagram to see if I would be willing to handle a Viking axe that he's been making.
Right.
So, you know, he sees obviously that we do axe videos, and he knows that, you know, he likes the way that I hang axes and asked if I would hang the axe for him. It's for a client. And he was, you know, completely willing, you know, he was like, he offered, he asked if I would like to do it. I right away was like, absolutely. you know, sounds great. Sounds fun. I love it. I'd been watching him actually make this little Damascus Viking axe. Looked really cool. So I was like excited to get it.
Yeah.
And, he said he would send the wood and everything for the handle. He wanted to and offered to pay me to do it. And I was happy to do it, for free because I like John and I, you know, I like the work and it was exciting and I love axes. So it was like, it's just another thing for me to do. I'm happy to do it. And we decided also it could be a video. So we're like, oh, that's cool. You know, we'll do a video.
Yeah. We figure it's
good content.
It depends. You know? It could pay for itself.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like either way, we'll make some money off of it. So we're not, you know.
Yeah. And that's not worried about. We're more worried about finding cool things to do.
Exactly.
And that, the axe that he made is so cool and so awesome. Like I saw pictures like, yes, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we definitely went. And that's a thing where we're totally the opposite of a company trying to get us to sponsor something.
Right.
Or working with another maker creator.
Yeah, exactly.
That we want to do. Right. We want to build relationships and help each other out.
Yeah.
And that stuff we love to do.
Right.
So that's like, yeah, of course. Yeah, we'll do that.
Exactly.
We'll take like a t-shirt and a sticker.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He was like, let me at least send you a t-shirt. I was like, all right, twist my arm.
Yeah.
You know? And then, I texted him back. I was like, how about two t-shirts? One for me and one for Devin.
Yeah, I want a t-shirt. You're like, it might not be on video, but I'll wear it. Some people will see it out at, you know, Walmart.
Nicholas Forge, awesome. I love him. That'd be great. That's the dude who won Forged and Fire, mm-hmm. season 5, episode 2.
I just made that up. That might be it, though.
Yeah.
He did win.
Yeah, he did win Forged and Fire. So,
yeah, that's also another thing. We had him on and talked about that, and that was cool. And
yeah. So, yeah, he has, you know, he's got a decent following, too. So, it's again, that's just like building a community, you know, doing stuff for people who, you know, we can everyone bring everyone up together. Mm-hmm. So, I think it'd be super fun. You know, we'll send people his way. He'll, you know, it'll show on his channel that we're doing it together, and we'll have that kind of, you know, collaboration type thing. So
it's just a side effect of working with people whose work you respect.
Right. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's a good side effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so we're happy to do it. So he sent it over and it looks awesome. Or, you know, looked awesome. The axe head is awesome. And sent this, you know, really nice piece of Cocobolo. It actually had pretty decent grain for an axe handle on like one end of it. So I ended up using that end for the head. Hanging the head on that, and then the other end had some really cool like swirly grain on it, which ends up being at the end of the handle, which is perfect because then like the bottom half of the axe handle has this really awesome grain, you know, looks beautiful, and then the top half is pretty straight grain, which is better for hanging the axe.
Right.
So it's like turned out really good, and it was fun, you know, putting it together and seeing the grain, because when you get, we had this 1.5 by 1.5 square 2 foot long piece of Cocobolo to make the handle out of. And when you get like that, you know, the ends are waxed and it's been kind of oxidized. So you can't really see what it's going to look like, but it's like the most beautiful piece of Cocobolo. And just for an accent, it's like straight grain underneath of the leather wrap that we did. So it looks really cool there. And then the bottom, it's got all this curly stuff to it and this like really dark, rich red part and just beautiful grain. It's super cool. So it was a really nice piece of wood. And because it ended up being a 2 foot piece of wood and we only really needed, 20 inches or so, I ended up cutting off 4 inches, which selfishly I'll use for a knife or something at some point. So, but John did say, he was like,
handle scales or something.
Yeah. I got a little piece of Cocobolo. He did say, he was like, that's probably more than you need, but you know, do what you need. And he even said, he was like, don't worry about it. If you end up like, if something happens and you crack or mess up the handle, you know, just let me know and I'll send you another piece. So he's a good dude. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Really good.
Do you want to talk about what went wrong?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, not real wrong, but
yeah,
the scratching of the blade.
Yeah.
So I was grinding the handle. So using the grinder to shape the handle, and I taped up the blade to protect it from getting scratched and things, little bumps on the grinding belt. Cause I was grinding down the head after we hung it and cleaning it off. And I was just about to chamfer the top of the head. And I was like, I had this just vision of like that blade hitting the grinder and sparks flying. And I was like, oh no, I got to tape it up. So we stopped. I taped it all up, the entire thing. It looked like a little package wrapped up in blue painter's tape. So it was like ready. So I had it prepped and then I was just grinding and I nicked it on the belt and it went straight through and I saw these little sparks fly and I'm like, you know, ear protection in, eye protection, mouth, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like into my mask. I was like, damn it. I see the little sparks fly. I was like,
I was like, what?
I was like, I scratched it. So fortunately, it's just it's a little scratch, but John will have to, he'll have to sand it out and then re-etch that part. So, you know, use a little Q-tip with, you know, with acid rubber and it'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. It's just small. It's like a quarter inch square scratch.
Yeah, it's not much.
You know, like three or four scratches on it, you know, and it's, yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean,
I tried not to hit. I was like, damn it.
Yeah, it turned out great.
Yeah.
Where is it? Didn't you bring it down?
It's right here.
Oh.
Right behind me.
Dustin's got it.
I did one other thing I did, which actually turned out really good, and I can't say it, is I chamfered the eye, the bottom of the eye, so that way the head would slip in a little bit better because it was kind of sharp on the bottom. And I was worried when I decided to do that you'd be able to see where I had ground it, and I just did it with a file, so. But you can't see it.
You can't. And that's, I mean, a good hang is more important. Mm-hmm. Especially, it's not like you're just doing that edge. So it's not like you're really going to, and if someone came in with a microscope and looked at it, maybe you'd see some little tiny, but I mean, I'm looking at it now, I can't see it.
And like you said, yeah, a good hang is more important than.
Right. Do you want it to come loose or do you want it to, yeah.
Right.
And I don't think John minds that you.
No, he even said, he was like, do whatever you need to. Like, if you need to do something to the axe eye, you know, he's like, you know what you need to do. So if you need to do something, go ahead. And I was, you know, I was glad that he said that because I was like, I had the idea to do, you know, chamfer the bottom of the eye if I needed to. So that way it would fit nice and tight down the handle. But it did. But yeah, I did it just enough, just rounded it just enough. So it wouldn't create that shelf, you know, cut into the handle. And
do you have any idea of how much he, charges for a Damascus axe head?
I have no idea.
Or a full axe?
No. Maybe if I did know, I should say.
All right, shirt and $1,000, John.
Right, exactly.
Fair enough.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and, it doesn't matter.
Right, of course.
I was just wondering.
I know, it's funny, yeah. Right, if I did know. Right, exactly.
Never mind. We're being charitable, but
he's like, I could make the Damascus axe head for you, but I could also handle it, and you know, it's twice the price, but it'll be a good handle. I know someone who I can get it from.
Yeah, I know a sucker I can get it and make it. No, I was just saying it'd be a cool thing to have to commission him to make another one.
Right. Yeah.
Either for us or me.
For us.
Father's Day's coming up quick.
John, hurry up, Mom.
Hurry up, John. I need it by Father's Day here. Right. I need it shipped.
Isn't that Sunday? Or next Sunday?
Yeah, no, it's this Sunday.
This Sunday, jeez.
Hey, yeah. Hurry up.
Yeah. It'll be your first Father's Day.
Yep.
Hey, happy Father's Day, Dev.
Thank you.
No problem. I'll be up in Vermont with my father-in-law.
There you go.
Yeah, speaking of fathers, we just... last Saturday had a surprise birthday slash retirement party for our mom. She just retired and is very happily retired. She's been in like senioritis for the last like 5 months or something. Like, no, she's retiring. She's like, you know, she's like, well, I've done enough. You know, I'm doing my job. I'm just not doing more than what I would normally do. It's just really funny. But yeah, so our dad wanted to do a surprise party. And my mom's really good at like knowing when things are happening. She's rarely ever surprised for things, like, not that we have tons of surprise parties, but so our dad's been planning this for a couple months and got us all to help out. You know, my dad took my mom, you know, they went camping for a couple days. You know, they have a new RV, so they went camping, and then they came back from camping and came back to like a party of people, a surprise party for my mom. Yeah. So,
and he was talking about it. He's like, now we're gonna leave, and then she normally wants to stop for lunch.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna say I'm not feeling well, and then I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna like check on the trailer. I'm gonna say something's wrong with the trailer.
Yeah, something doesn't sound right.
And we go back and we text someone or call you guys
and let you know that we're close by. Yeah, right.
Well, that just sounds like a lot of thing that's gonna.
I know. I was like, why don't you just tell me what before you leave. Go to the bathroom before you leave to come, you know, from camping. Because where they were going is only like 45, 50 minutes away. Mm-hmm. It's like, just let us know, you know, before you leave, go to the bathroom, say, all right, we're leaving in 10 minutes. We'll be there in an hour.
Right.
I mean, all we have to do, the rest of us, is just like in 50 minutes, we all just go hang out front, you know, and drink beers until you show up. You know, like that's not hard to do.
But he planned it. I mean, he got it to work. So it worked perfectly.
Yeah. My mom's best friend was there and she was there early helping out. So then my brothers, we all showed up and helped out and planned it.
She was upset until then though. Cause for one, he bugged her to take a shower. She's like, why do I need to take a shower in the RV? Just take a shower. He knew that there were going to be a bunch of people.
But she didn't. She was like, he said he went to take a shower and she didn't because.
Did she not take one?
No, she said she was like, you know, they had AC in the RV and she was fine. She was like, I'm fine. I'm not sweaty. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure if she was, he probably could have encouraged her more to do it, you know,
She looked.
Yeah. Did you hear the gorgeous. The funnel cake story.
Yeah.
On the way back, they stopped. Like, did Dad stop and get a snowball, or it was like
no, he didn't stop and get anything. Oh. There is one on the corner, right, like 3 minutes from the house.
Right,
and I saw it on the way out or something.
Yeah,
and there's funnel cakes. She's like, I think I want a funnel cake, or Dad did, or they were gonna share one.
Yeah,
and Dad's just like, no, we're not getting it.
She's like, why not? I want a funnel cake.
He's like, no, we're not stopping. She's like, oh, okay, well. She's like getting... now I know. Like. Next time you want to stop for something, I'm not going to stop then.
They said he's important. Bitter. Like, that's why I didn't want to stop.
I'd be bitter too.
I know, right?
It's like, man, I'd kill for a funnel cake. Yeah, that's a funnel cake stand. Let's stop. My wife was like, no. I'm like, what? No, stop. Let's stop. No. I'm like, all right.
Is that how we're going to play?
All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to start hitting your horn just for fun. Piss her off.
I do that. You're like, yeah, it's great.
I did that once. We're in the Walmart parking lot, and she said something that kind of pissed me off. It's kind of joke fighting. I'm not going to do it in a real fight. That would be stupid.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's
I
not
never loved you. It doesn't work well. No, but it's like, she said something, and she just doesn't want the attention towards her. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
So I'll honk her horn at a stoplight or something. So I did it in the middle of Walmart, and I hit it hard, and it just and got stuck on honk somehow.
On honk.
I was like, oh, no. So I jumped out and had to unplug the battery and whatnot. But...
It's like, see? Messing around.
That's great.
It's like, oh no.
You're like, good thing I was in the truck with you, in the car with you. Right. You're right. What would you have done if it happened? Like,
you got to unhook the battery.
He's just like, I never would honk the horn.
Yeah.
Now she's definitely never going to honk the horn. She's like, goes to honk it and stops. Like, wait.
Well, that car's gone. So that was the Jeep.
Ah, gotcha. The old Jeep trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, that's funny.
But yeah, the party was good. It was fun. We had everyone around.
Yeah, it was great. Had some old friends, some new friends, parents, my parents' friends and our friends. And yeah, it was good. It was a good time. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It all worked out really well. We ended up, you know, we all got there around like 11:30 or 12 and put together some food and got everything set up. And then my parents were going to be there around 1:00. And then my dad said that, you know, he texted or called me or something and said they'd be there closer to 1:30. So we had a little bit more time to spare. And then he did actually text me at some point and said they were 5 minutes out. I don't know what happened, but... Maybe he just picked up his phone and texted, but he said, you know, 5 minutes out. So then we were like, all right, 5 minutes, everybody out front. And they showed up and my mom was surprised and it was great.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, in the shop, I wanted to talk a little bit about the, my new bench in the shop. So we have, I think we talked about this on the podcast, but I looked up on Facebook Marketplace, something like that, and had a free bench on Facebook Marketplace, like a workshop bench that was in a basement. And the picture said like bench free, but it also had on the left side of the picture that was kind of like halfway cropped off was a bench vise, like a carpenter's vise. And so I messaged them and I was like, you know, is this still available? And does the vise come with the bench? And she said, yes, it does. So I went by on Wednesday and went to pick it up on Wednesday. This was 2 weeks ago. And couldn't get it out of the basement where it was because it must have been built in the basement because the doors were too narrow. I just couldn't get enough. I was there with my buddy Sean, and we could have taken it apart and gotten out, but we were also going sailing, so we didn't have a ton of time. So we went back. I went back on Friday at the end of the day after work and met with my brother Drew, who lives just like 10 minutes away from there. And he helped me. We took it apart and got it out and brought it home. And then on Sunday, I think it was Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, I had the whole day kind of with nothing to do. So I was just working in the shop, cleaned up, took where my grinders are in the shop. I took the grinders off the bench, everything below it, took it all out, got everything, got that whole area cleaned up below the Art of Craftsmanship sign, cleaned everything, cleaned the floor, and then brought in the new bench, rebuilt it in the shop, put the grinders on it.
I didn't know you rebuilt it.
Yeah, because it was taken apart. The top was off completely. So rebuilt it, put it together, cleaned and bolted down both of my grinders, which were not previously bolted down. So now they're both bolted down in place. And then I also built a tool arm holder space on the left side. So before I would just, you know, if I was using the the work rest, if I wasn't using the work rest, I just kind of pull it out and put it to the side and, you know, rest it on something or put it on the table or something. But I wanted to kind of do a tooling arm attachment tree type thing. So on the leg, the left side of the bench, I bolted in another like 2x4, and then into that I bolted in, I just took some 2x4s and made squares and just made a few slots for the square tubing. So I have the small arm attachment, which is from TR Maker with the small wheels. And then I have the work rest for my Revolution. So I have those things all set up, and it's got drawers, and I got a new, actually bought two new surge protectors, but I ended up only putting in one. I may switch out the other one because the other one is giving me a fit and keeps popping, but maybe that's just because my motor's bad, not because of the surge protector. But I did end up putting another surge protector on the other end. So both grinders and the lights that are attached to that have their own surge protectors attached to them, so I can run them separately. And I'm really excited. It's great. The one thing that I liked about the other one is that I had space underneath of it to put my shop vacs and stuff. Yeah. And this one doesn't, it has a bench, it has a shelf. I could cut that shelf out and then it had the space, but we'll see. Cause I had my like compressor under there, a little pancake compressor, and then both my shop vacs and stuff. So we did, I do have the shop vac over near the bench, and it actually hooked up really nicely to the 2x42. So
yeah, I feel like you, when you got built the smithy for room down here, it looks exactly the same. Like there's more room.
The forge is not there, but
I still have to like squeeze and finagle my way around things to get like a shot from the other side.
No, you know, I was able to pull the bandsaw out today.
Yeah, we got about 3 extra inches on that side there. Nice.
That's because like the table saw is out, which is usually back here. There's that stack of like crates that need to go for where all the wood is, and then I need to get it rid of, you know, like 5 tools that are back there. Couple that I machines. Never use.
Yeah, we'll have a sell-off Art of Craftsmanship party.
I have the new grinder there on the stump, which is going to take place of the other grinder, and then I can just put that on a single pedestal, so that'll be better. Yeah,
but yeah, the new it looks new real bench. Nice. It looks nice and clean. I mean, you put some stuff on it, but that's just temporarily.
Right, yeah.
But it looked a lot cleaner than the last one.
Box with new belts
one.
And some leather.
It looked real nice and clean when I was shooting. I was realizing that, like, oh, that's nice to have this nice clean table. It looks, like, nicer. Right.
Yep.
But it shows up kind of, can you see a green hue? Can you see what I'm seeing?
It's that yellowy green that, like it's, that
chartreuse? It looks like a cream. Like, when I first saw it, just looked creamy.
Yeah, right.
But now, like, when I look through the camera, I was like, man, that really looks green.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it's cool. It's a little color of the shop, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a pale yellow that was painted a pale. The top, the whole top is like tongue and groove flooring, so that's wood color, but everything else is painted yellow, and I'm not exactly sure but it was free. And I got the awesome, like, vintage Craftsman, bench vise or carpenter's vise, which is a 10-inch carpenter's vise, and it has the quick release. So there's the main screw has like a slot, you know, a slot area, what's that called? I guess like a channel running down it that doesn't have threads. So that way you can spin the handle around and get to a point and then slide the whole thing in and out quickly.
Right.
So that way, if you have a big piece of wood or whatever, you slide it out, slide in it, and then crank down on it. So it's a quick release, which is really nice. And yeah, was free. So can't beat that.
The right
price.
So I'm
going to replace my little Irwin, you know, 6-inch with the big one here on my main shop. And then figure out what to do with the rest of my vices that I have just sitting under the table right now under Devin's feet. All these other tools. I was really happy to clean up that part of the shop, though, the grinders, and get that all clean. You know, it was nice. And then, you know, now I've got to work on what's behind me. Now we have tomorrow. Tomorrow I have free because we finished our video today.
I'm back to the O's. But I got all day with the family. Nice. So, do we want to go to... Actually, wait. I was going to say recommendations, but I have a few Dear Dustins here.
Oh, nice.
Let me pull them up. I screenshot them. let's see. Pull back. Sorry. Hang with me, folks. All right. Central Washington's. Oh, wait. Let me do the intro.
Okay. Sorry.
Dear Dustin. There we go. Central Washington says, get the leather quite wet before you stitch. This helps the thread pull into the leather to protect the thread. Been doing this for 50 years. Very nice job on the sheath. What do you think about that? Get the leather quite wet before you stitch. This helps the thread pull into the leather and protect the thread. So it's saying it pulls into it if you don't have some type of channel cut already.
Right.
It pulls it down lower into the leather.
Right. I like the idea of that. My initial reaction would be that it wouldn't look as, maybe not as crisp. So with the leather being wet, you'll get, if you can imagine, a bunch of, you know, arches instead of a stitch going straight up across and straight down, like a staple, right? So like an arch instead of a staple.
So it would go, and it'd have a different look,
right?
But
it would sink below.
I mean, might, right, if people didn't cut like a channel into it, that might work.
Yeah, and that's I usually do the groover to do that. So I'll groove the channel where my and I always do that. I always groove the stitch channel.
But it's an interesting idea. Maybe if you didn't want to,
right?
Or if you didn't have that tool, if all you had was a what do you call it?
Was a little an awl.
Yeah, just to push that's all you had, and you didn't have maybe.
Yeah, get it wet and do it. It seems like good advice. You know, he's been doing it for 50 years, so.
So he says.
Everyone says that. Everyone who has good advice or has advice that you're doing something that they either think you're doing right or you're doing wrong. They've been doing it for 50 years.
Hey.
And they'll tell you, this is great. You're doing great. I'm so glad you're doing this. I've been doing this for 50 years, and that's you're doing it the right way. Or, I can't believe you're doing this. I've done this for 50 years, and you're doing it the wrong way.
Right.
50 years.
Mike Hendricks says, Dear Dustin, does the epoxy resin give it a waterproof seal? He's talking about making a knife from a circular saw blade. My concern is the almost drilled holes you did in the metal handle. Is it going to gather a puddle of water in those areas?
So what he's talking about is on the tang, the full tang, when you're drilling through, you drill some holes through and you drill some divots, and that basically gives more area for the glue to hold onto. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that you're filling that gap, that space completely with glue. So there are no gaps. So that's the answer. There are no gaps for water to fill in there. And yes, the epoxy resin is also waterproof.
All right.
So both things. Yes. Yes is waterproof, and there shouldn't be any gaps if you've done it right. You know, you kind of fill everything with glue, clamp it together, and it's just more area, more surface area for the glue to grab onto.
So don't worry there, Mike.
Yeah.
Joe R. says, Dear Dustin, in Iowa, we have cicadas every year, so we don't get a 15-year break like you get on the East Coast. Every summer here is filled with the sound of cicadas.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sucks. Sorry.
And we also have cicadas.
We have know cicadas. What the sound almost of cicada year. Is. Yeah. Right.
We get it summer, end of summer, yeah. we hear them.
And there's also, there's like the 11-year cicadas, and there's the 14-year cicadas.
Right.
But this one specifically, which is the 17-year cicadas.
Jesus.
Big,
that was a really big,
giant mosquito eater.
Cicada killer. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I think you're flying.
It flew straight at you. You hit it. I heard it like through my headphones. You hit it across the room. Dang.
Punched him in his head.
You're like, pow.
So I'm flying.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, we hear this.
We have cicadas too, but I don't think you have them like 17. It's a whole another ball game.
Yeah, it's
crazy. At my house, they start to slow down a little bit, but man, it was. You try to walk to your car, you are dodging them there in every tree.
Yeah.
Boom, swing.
Yeah. At mom and dad's place, they were pretty bad there. Like, that was definitely worse than it is here. They have, they got the cornfields next to them. And then it's like woods and whatever it was. They were pretty bad there. I mean, it was also we were outside for a long time with a big group of people and everyone they land on me 20 times throughout the party. You know, I had bugs land on me or fly at me and I dodged out of the way.
Right.
It was great. All the kids are playing with them. Grant and I were playing catch with one cicada at one point. I think we threw it back and forth like four times. You throw it, it flies, and you catch it and throw it.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, they don't hurt you. They're just big, clumsy. Loud, flying bugs.
Rob Art Outdoors says, "Dear Dustin, I'm shit scared of angle grinders. Have you had any discs explode?"
I have not, Rob. Rob, what is it? Rob R Outdoors?
Rob Art.
Art Outdoors. That's cool. I like that. Rob Art Outdoors. No, I have not. I've had cutting discs on Dremels explode.
Mm-hmm.
But those are so tiny, you know, so they've
we've been hit by them. I've been hit by
it. You've been hit and I've been hit. Yeah, we're grinding.
I mean, you want to wear eye protection.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, hitting your skin, it doesn't hurt, but the eye isn't
But
good.
No, I have not had an angle grinder explode, and I'm not afraid of them. I'm not. You know, maybe it's because I've never had one explode, but
I will say I have a little, because I will get closer and closer on shots and certain angles.
I was just looking across the table. Devin's talking. I just burped like right to the microphone. Yeah. Burp. So
I don't even know.
No, angle grinder and like. I always keep the guard on. I don't take the guard off the angle grinder. So if it does explode, it's not a big deal. It's not going to, well, it is a big deal, but the guard is protecting me.
Yeah.
So if it were to explode, it would I'd be protected.
So when I'm going in for other angles, I am a little like, I'm not on the guard side, I keep the camera in front of me or in front of my face.
And also like using the angle grinder jig that I have that I used to use a lot more often to cut metal and stuff. I was using bigger discs, not cutoff discs. Oh, yeah. So the bigger grinder disc. So it's like a quarter inch thick disc. So I'd use that. But there were often people would, it's funny. There were most of the people that saw those videos where I use that angle grinder jig to be able to put the angle grinder down on the table and use it as like a grinding. So I could hold the piece and grind into it. We're super pumped about it. You know, I still have people that ask, like, that's a great jig. You know, right. I'd like to see more about that.
It's still a video we could do, just making a new one.
Yeah. But there were also people that were like, that's super dangerous. You know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put your angle grinder that way. Of course, it's not designed that way, but it worked really great. It was just one day I was like, I want to use this grinding disc to grind off steel. So I don't want to hold it. I'd rather hold the steel. So I made a little box jig and just slid it right into it.
Right.
Worked perfectly.
Okay, last Dear Dustin. Blackbeard Projects says, "Dear Dustin, damn, I dig your outdoor space. This looks so nice at night. And your basement gives me good old time Duresta vibes. And of course, beautiful knife as well. Buffalo horn looks so nice. And the handle shape is spot on. Congrats." That's from Blackbeard on the Giotto challenge, which he was also in it, and obviously you guys might know him. He's a big YouTuber.
Yeah, almost 2 million subscribers. That's great. I really like. I've always really liked Blackbeard's videos, and he does a great job. But Yeah, that was a really awesome compliment. He said that. He said it reminded him of the old school Duresta videos. Shop. Yeah. His Duresta's like shop in Manhattan underground in the basement. And like, that was such a cool shop. When I first started watching Duresta videos, that's where he was. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like super cool space, you know, tight space, just packed in full of tools, full of like, I don't know, just you could tell it was a space that was used and loved.
Yeah.
And I always love that space. I think that's the first time someone has, you know, compared my space to the rest of space. I was like, that was pretty cool.
I feel like I've heard it before, but I don't know if it was from someone we know or.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. And I appreciate that. Yeah, we, you know, I was pumped. It's funny. I was excited about the smithy, and I was also nervous before we built it because it was like, again, it's a bigger structure, bigger than something I've decided and made, you know, and built on my own. So I had to kind of make all those decisions. So, it turned out really great, and it has been really great since then. I've used it a bunch of times, and I've been out there using it, you know, filming and then not filming, and it's just a really great space to have, and it's much safer to have all that, you know, all the forge and stuff outside instead of in the shop. So, really happy about that. But thank you, Black Pier Projects. I appreciate that. And that horn is beautiful. It still feels wonderful. That knife, it cut Nicole the other day. She had a Band-Aid on. I got home. She's like, I cut my finger on the knife. Sorry, it's pretty sharp.
It's going to be sharp.
Brand new sharp.
But yeah, that is Dear Dustin. If you have any other questions for Dustin, you can send them to me at The Art of Camera Guy on Instagram, or, you know, we read a lot of them from YouTube. So any questions you have on there, we might read out on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, recommendations. My recommendation this week is a guy on Instagram, and his handle is Stumptown Axes. Stumptown Axes is a really does some really awesome axe work. And I was just thinking about him today because we were working on the Viking axe, and he was in my mind, and it's really nice axes. You know, restoring vintage axes, doing like really cool wedge things. He'll do like brass or you know, steel pipe, and he'll put like a circle of steel pipe into the wedge, and then do like a single rod in the middle of it, so you get almost like a target of wedges inside. Just like doing some decorative stuff, he'll do different spots and stuff. He does really cool stuff, just really nice axe work. And I feel like I've watched him get better, like, within the year. Like, I'm not sure how long he's been doing Stumptown Axes, but, you know, he just gets better and better, like, you know, doing different wedges and stuff. And his handles are really nice, and he'll do, like, laminate handles and regular handles, and does really good restoration on axes and on. Obviously, I am a lover of axes, and so I really like Stumptown Axes, his channel. Or his page. Apparently he has a YouTube channel as well. I'll have to check it out, because, you know, anything that has to do with axes, I'm all about it.
You check it out, and we'll check it out.
Yeah. check out
our suggestion today
at Stumptown Axes on Instagram and YouTube.
My suggestion, I don't think Dustin will like it, but I'm going to reiterate, because I've watched Clarkson's Farm now.
Oh, geez. Again?
Again.
But wasn't this just last week?
Yeah, last week, but I didn't watch it at the time last week. So I wasn't sure.
Well,
but I want to make sure
double recommendation.
Everyone knows. Go watch Clarkson's Farm. It's so good. It's the guy from Top Gear and Grand Tour, if you guys know that.
And that's like, that's the taller dude, right?
The taller, older guy, the main guy.
He's the one I always remember the most.
Yeah, the description is he attempts to run a farm in the countryside with no previous farming experience. Jeremy contends with the worst farming weather in decades, disobedient animals, unresponsive crops, and an unexpected pandemic. No, it's really good. I think it might be better than like the Top Gear and Grand Tour episodes. Like, I'd much rather, if Grand Tour said they were done, that'd be okay, but I really want to see more seasons of Clarkson's Farm. I'm trying to get Dustin to watch it too.
It says I'm recommending it again.
It's that good. It's beautiful. He's got this beautiful English farm. It's shot well. He also him learning about farming helped me learn about it more, like the big mass, what you really need, how you really do it.
Right.
What machines you have to use, where you put stuff, if you can store it, if you can't, like, it's really good.
It's a good watching. So last week after our podcast, once I started editing it, I realized that there was a pretty significant echo in our recording between us and, you know, you and I and Aaron Lee and Dennis Tyrell. And so I was trying all this different stuff. I ended up editing a whole bunch of different things, trying all these different effects in, you know, like in the program we're using, and just trying to get it to diminish it somewhat. And I was able to get it to go a little bit, but I was like, you know, Googling like how to get rid of echo, and everything was just the normal, like normal echo stuff, not like echo in a room, right? How do you get rid of that like ambient sound? But nothing could get rid of like that under echo because it's just on the main track.
Yeah.
Tried a bunch of different things, and then ended up like going through and turning up and down different people's volume, like all the way through the entire episode. You know, I think it was probably like 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning when I ended up getting done. But apparently you were also awake watching Clarkson's Farm at that time. Because you say you watched three episodes or something. The next day you're like, I right afterward, you end up watching like three episodes in a row or something. I was like, so you asshole, you're over there like watching Clarkson's Farm. Yeah, I was editing for hours like with a headache trying to figure out how to, you know. I ended up just like recording. If you guys listened last week, you heard beforehand. I was like, well, there's going to be a little bit. There's nothing we could do. It was
now,
a great
episode.
Now
you know how
yeah.
it is yeah. when I'm editing and you're in your bed and I'm, I did it last night, stayed up till 4. I think I got a good copy up. Watch it. You're like, oh, cool. That looks good. I was like, I spent 8 hours last night. Oh, it's back. Ow!
Oh, the bug.
Got it.
It's huge.
That is huge. What is it? I guess it's a regular mosquito killer.
Yeah, man. But in the light, it looks...
He's back again. Here it comes.
we better get out of here.
The joys of...
Before it lifts me off and takes me out.
The joys of shooting in a shop together.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. No, watch Clarkson's Farm. It's worth it. Don't edit a podcast. Go watch it. And they're really good. They're like 50 to an hour.
Oh, right.
Long 50 minutes to an hour. Quality stuff.
Yeah, you did stay up late that night.
I did.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. This has been fun. It's been a couple long days for us, and you have some good videos coming your way. Check us out on YouTube, The Art of Craftsmanship. Check out John Nagel, and you know, he's over on Instagram, Nagel House Forge. Also, you know, he did a great job with that that Damascus axe that we were talking about. So you'd be able to see that there. And if you guys want to support us even further, you can always go over to Patreon and help us out there. Patreon.com/TheArtOfCraftsmanship. You can follow us on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And you can always listen here. So it's been a blast. Thank you guys all so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.